The presenting sponsor for this episode of the Autism Dad Podcast is C&Me. It's not easy to trust anyone with your vulnerable loved ones. When my kids were younger, I was terrified of leaving them with anyone outside a close family. I worried that my kids wouldn't be understood or have their needs met by anyone who didn't really know them. I've had so many conversations with other parents over the years who feel the same way. It's tough, it really is, and I get it. For anyone going through this right now, I have good news for you. C&Me can help. C&Me is a card that uses NFC technology and QR codes to allow teachers, caregivers, healthcare workers, and even first responders to instantly learn about your loved one. The profile you create for your loved one will pop up on their phone screen and provide valuable information that can make interactions in any setting personalized and positive. C&Me was designed by Dr. Risa Stein, a mother to a neurodivergent son and a clinical psychologist. She designed C&Me to help with her own family, and it can help yours too. You can learn more about C&Me by visiting cnme.com. That's S-E-E-I-N-M-E.com and use the code theautismdad to save 20%. My name is Rob Gorski, and welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast, where we talk about all things related to autism and parenting and education and self-care and mental health and all that kind of stuff. Because it's important and it matters. It matters in my life. It matters in your life. This is the show that you go to when you want to hear from parents who talk about their experience and their stories and experts who help us better understand what's going on and can teach us things about our kids or our loved ones that are beneficial to both us and them. So thank you for taking the time to tune in. I really do appreciate that. My guest today is Tiffany Hamilton. She's an amazing mother to an amazing autistic teenage son named Isaiah. And she's here today to talk about her journey as a parent, talk about her son Isaiah, as well as the company that they co-founded together called Victorware. We are going to have a conversation about the inspiration behind the creation of Victorware, what Victorware is, what their goals are, how her son Isaiah is involved, and what she wants to see Victorware be able to do for the autism community. So thank you very much, Tiffany, for taking the time to come on the show. Could you take a minute and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, and thank you so much for having me, Rob. I am Tiffany Hamilton, president and CEO of Victorware. And Victorware is our inspirational activewear brand created with the goal of providing employment and empowerment to the autism community.
What is your connection to the autism community?
My son, my baby, Isaiah, who is also a co-founder of Victorware. He has high-functioning autism, and our autism journey started at 12 months old.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. Well, he was diagnosed later, but our therapeutic journey started at 12 months.
Gotcha.
But he is the inspiration, and now that he's 16, of course, I am focused on his transition to the working world, to college, and just being aware of the horrible statistics around unemployment in the autism community, unemployment and underemployment. I wanted to be the change and make a difference and absolutely secure my son's future. So that is really what inspired me to create this business with him that we want to grow, and we're aspiring to be a leading employer of the autism community.
That's ambitious. And that's very, very cool. I admire that. Before we get into Victorware, I always like to kind of get a sense for what your journey has been like. Because a lot of people out there listening, a lot of times feel like they're alone and they feel isolated, or that people don't understand, or there's no one that can relate to what they've been through. And so what you said, your therapeutic journey started at 12 months.
Yes.
Did you start noticing signs at 12 months in that?
I did. Absolutely. So the signs I noticed were just, I mean, they were pretty mild. I was a first time mom. So, you know, again, I was like looking at, you know, everything he did, like with a magnifying glass. But at 12 months, he was not walking or crawling. He actually started scooting at 12 months. And I don't know, I just thought it was odd. And I really, you know, pushed my pediatrician wasn't worried, like, at all. Isaiah is really tall. Like now he's 6'4". He was always tall. And he just thought, okay, he's going to be a big kid. Like, you know, don't worry, give it time. But I really pushed him to get a developmental evaluation for Isaiah. And at that time he was diagnosed with developmental delays, and that was 12 or 13 months. And so we started with PT, which was nothing. And he started, you know, walking like a few months later. And, you know, they progressed so quickly. But then, you know, then it transitioned to, you know, fine motor skills. So occupational therapy, then mm-hmm. sensory processing therapy, and then speech therapy. So long story short, at around age 4, I believe that I think his developmental evaluation was normal at that time, but I still knew that he had these other things going on. And so I continued, the child has basically had nonstop therapy since he was a year old. So we continued with the sensory processing therapy and with speech and particularly like pragmatics and social skills. So I feel like I'm rambling, but...
No, you're doing fine. I was thinking about, I always love when I have these conversations because it takes me back to my kids. And when you're talking about therapy since he was little, my son had therapy last night. He's 16 and my oldest is 22. He still has therapy every week. Well, they all have therapy every week, but it's the same therapist for like the last 16 years, you know?
Wow.
And so
you are lucky.
They are.
That's a blessing.
Yeah. Because she's, I always just refer to her as Dr. Patty because she's amazing. She's almost like a member of the family, to be honest.
Yeah, of course.
She's been through everything with us. She knows the kids better than most people do. And it's a safe place for them to go and deal with things that are bothering them. And the whole reason that we started therapy was because, you know, my oldest is 22 and he was diagnosed in 2005. So he was about 5 years old and he was diagnosed and his behaviors were extreme. And my youngest two, Elliot was born in 06 and Emmett was born in 08. And we just wanted to make sure that they weren't being like lost in the shuffle because we were so preoccupied with the behaviors of one that we wanted to just make sure that we weren't missing anything on with the other two. We just sort of kept going because I think therapy is a good thing for anybody.
It really is.
But, yeah. So not rambling at all. You were kind of, there was a little nostalgia for me to go through that again. And I was just thinking about that. So when you found out that he was autistic, like how did that feel? Like, or did you really have more of an understanding of what autism was prior to the actual diagnosis?
Yes. Great question. Isaiah was diagnosed at age 8. So,
oh wow.
Yeah. I waited, I mean, regardless, everything was treated like autism, you know, like mm-hmm. all the therapies, education-wise, everything. And for a long time, I did not think it was autism. I thought, you know, okay, well, he just has these delays or he just has these, you know, social challenges because he would be so different, like with different people in different situations, you know, there is like such a variance and, you know, now like listening to myself like, duh, you know, autism, but I felt at that time. And again, being a first time mom, like I didn't want to label him. I just mm-hmm. wanted to see how things played out. And with every therapy, he made like enormous strides. Like he just kept going and, you know, just growing. And I thought, okay, well, maybe he will like just sort of outgrow these things. But, you know, of course, that didn't happen. So I really regret waiting that long to get him diagnosed because we would have qualified for a lot of like, you know, like different like fund, like I
services.
Spent, yes, services and like funding. Like I spent so much money, like, you know, out of my pocket, you know, in therapy when I could have, you know, through the county, there's all these services if your child is diagnosed with autism. So I would just say it was hard. I, you know, for a long time, I just thought, okay, if we get this therapist or, you know, if he gets this special therapy or if he goes to a certain school, like it's going to like go away. And of course that didn't happen. So I think, you know, starting at around age 7, I really came to the realization that, you know, this is who he is and I have to teach him to love who he is just as he is. And this is our journey. Like this, everything changes from here. And so it was just challenging to accept that, you know, that was his diagnosis at first.
That's so relatable. My middle child, so we're 22, 16, and 14 in my house. Wow. And all boys, all autistic in different kind of places.
Yep.
But my oldest was very extreme. I mean, there was a lot of extreme behaviors, a lot of extreme regression and things like that. My youngest was nonverbal, and that was really it. I mean, he wasn't really delayed anywhere else except his speech. And so I had like extreme opposites, you know, one end of the spectrum and the other. And Elliot, my 16-year-old, was in the middle. And so it didn't appear as though he had, like, there was anything in common between, you know what I mean? And so I didn't pick up on it.
Yep.
And it wasn't until preschool orientation when he was in a group of peers. And when I saw the way that he interacted and the way that he was in a group of sort of neurotypical people, it became more obvious to me that there were, some things going on. And I was really upset with myself for that, because it was like, how did I not see that?
I get it. That's the spectrum. that's the spectrum aspect that makes it, you know, so hard. Like, you know, with Isaiah, he didn't, you know, in terms of like making eye contact and, you know, talking a lot, like he still talks, you know, nonstop. And, you know, like he didn't fit the profile at that time. I always say, like, if you met someone with autism, you've met someone with autism. And I can totally relate to having kids like at different extremes. And then the middle one looks, you know.
Yeah, it's looks your all frame good. Your frame of reference is limited to your experience is.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was just, I was able to relate when you were talking about that. It made me think of my situation. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there who have been in a similar boat where they, you know, their understanding of what autism was at one point was Rain Man or extreme behaviors one way or the other. Yep. And it doesn't have to be that way. Everybody's different and unique, and everybody has different challenges and different strengths. And I think that's what makes it so one of the most confusing human conditions in existence, because all of that diversity and all of that uniqueness falls under one name. And that's so hard for people to wrap their heads around.
So hard for people. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
they don't get it. Everything like is, they relate autism to like whatever they know, like whoever they know with autism, that's what autism is. And it's just that they know that one person with autism, and that's the way he or she acts. It's not representative. And I think we're kind of wired to, you know, we want like the, you know, 10-second pitch, you know, we want to just that simplicity, and autism is complicated.
Yep. It is complicated and widely misunderstood. You know, since my oldest was diagnosed in 2005, so much has changed in the way that we look at it. And like, I remember when I heard autism, I was terrified. Like, I was terrified because when you hear that diagnosis, especially back then, they're talking to you as though it's like your child has a disease or something that you have to fight to save them from. And in my oldest case, he has a rare version of autism called childhood disintegrative disorder. And they don't even list it in the DSM anymore because it's incredibly rare. But he develops typically until he's about 4 years old and then just massively regressed. So he changed personality-wise. It was like you had swapped him out in the middle of the night with somebody that looked just like him, but wasn't the same person. And for the people who are dealing with things like that, I can see looking at autism as though it's an adversary. It's something that took your child away. But with my other two, they've always been the way that they are. And so I don't know any different. And, you know, my youngest, he started talking at about 4 years old, hasn't stopped talking since. And he's the one that will always walk in while I'm doing this. And for some ridiculous reason, just to whatever. And it's become kind of a thing, you know, people listen to see what's Emmett going to interrupt for today. But, you know, we find our way. And, you know, with Gavin, I had to get to know the person that he had become. And that's the only person that I know. And, you know, we're 17 years down the road or something now. And, he's doing really well. We're getting ready to help him. Well, I'm getting ready to help him transition to living outside of the home. He wants to have he wants to live with like friends and like, so like a group home type thing where he just needs a little bit of help. He doesn't need a tremendous amount of help. And my other two, my youngest is starting mainstream high school next week for the first time. And my Elliot in my middle, transitioned or transferred from, they were at a charter school for autistic kids and ADHD kids and learning disability stuff. And his high school had like 60 kids in the entire building. And he transitioned at the end of last school year to the main high school for the county, which has like 2,000 kids, and absolutely doing amazing. Like best thing. I mean, like I was terrified, and he just got out of the car and walked into the building like, you know, nothing's wrong. And that was amazing for me. And I just took Emmett through orientation yesterday or day before, and it's amazing. You know, like I'm overprotective to an extent, and
of course
I am. And between, and I think sometimes my judgment is clouded by that being overprotective. And I sometimes underestimate what my kids are able to do because I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to have to deal with the cruelty of the world. And I recognize that they are amazing humans and they're going to do amazing things in their own unique way. And I need to get out of the way and let them do their thing.
Easier said.
Oh yeah. Done. Right. Like totally.
You will always be Papa Bear. And I can totally relate. It's
the presenting sponsor for this episode of the Autism Dad podcast is Mightier. Okay. So I want to take a minute and talk about Mightier. Mightier is a clinically proven mobile gaming app, which was developed at Boston Children's Hospital. It's already helped more than 100,000 kids, including my crew here at home. Now, if you're a longtime listener, you know that I'm very big into anything that empowers parents, and that's one of the things that's so great about Mightier. It empowers both parents and kids, and it's all done through play. So how does it work? Great question. Kids play on a tablet or a phone while wearing a heart rate monitor, and Mightier incorporates breathing exercises and other proven calming techniques as part of the game. Kids get to see when it's time to cool down, and they learn how to do it themselves, and parents get to track their progress. With time, those calming skills become muscle memory. All it takes is 15 minutes a day, 3 days a week, and 87% of parents see improvement inside of 90 days. That's amazing. So check out Mightier.com to learn more about the science behind Mightier and how it works. That's Mightier.com and use the code theautismdad22 at checkout to save 10%.
There's so much anxiety that I just live with, you know, every day, just because you can't control the world and how people are going to react, to them or what they may or may not do. And, you just want to protect them. Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, that's our first instinct as a parent to protect.
And I think our kids, a lot of times can be misunderstood.
Totally.
Like with my oldest, I can interpret everything that he does. I mean, like I know what his intentions are when he says something, or he likes to quote movies and stuff like that. Cause he thinks it's cool and whatever. And I'm just like, dude, I get what you're saying. You can't say that anywhere else.
Right.
Cause nobody's going to understand and nobody's going to think about asking you. They're just going to be offended. And you know, we don't want to offend people like that.
Yeah. Isaiah has the same issue.
So it is, it's a challenge, but I'm working very hard to never underestimate what my kids are capable of doing, because they always surprise me. And
so how are you doing that? Like, I'm curious. I'm curious about that because I'm like just crazy overprotective. And I'm also like, how do you, you're a single dad, you have three kids on the spectrum. Like, I just, how are you doing it?
I was just having this conversation, and I actually just released an episode today where I was talking about mental health, because I've been struggling, honestly, the last couple of months. But I guess the answer to that question is that I don't know anything else. And part of the reason that I have started to kind of let go a little bit and give them some, you know, whatever space to do their thing, I would like to say it's because I've just grown as a person and I recognize that I should have been doing it a long time ago. But it's more that it started out as more of a, I became a single parent, and I have my family and I have my ex-in-laws who are amazing, but you know, their mom isn't involved in their life. And so all the decisions, all of the responsibility falls on me for everything. And I trying to manage all of that, trying to manage my own stuff, you know, build and grow a business, maintain a house, keep everybody from killing each other, survive COVID, you know, and with my oldest is immunocompromised. So we spent 15 months in lockdown, and I just sort of had to start picking my battles. And as I was forced to do that, I started recognizing that, like, you know what, he can use a stove, you know, during COVID, I think I learned a lot about what they're capable of doing. Cause they, all three of them now can cook, they can bake, they can, I mean, Emmett, my youngest, is like a foodie. He went from being the most sensory sensitive eater on the planet to where it was like four things and he would only, you know, had to be made like 10 times to make it right or whatever, to this kid will like saute salmon and just do crazy things with food. And I think that's where he wants to go into culinary arts.
Amazing.
But if I hadn't been forced by my own limitations to slowly allow some of these things to start happening, I don't know that I would have recognized it. I would have just been hovering, you know, and just waiting for somebody to say something or waiting for someone to do something. And like, you know, don't talk to my kid that way. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, you're just hyper-vigilant and you're protective because you know everything that's going on. Exactly. They're naive to it a lot of times. Exactly. You hear the comments, they don't hear the comments, and
or see the looks, and
see the looks. Or, you know, with us, I've been publicly talking about this stuff since like 2010, and so we've been sort of kind of under a magnifying glass really for a long time, where I felt like the more open I shared about my personal stuff, the better off people are going to be who are coming behind me, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like that path, so that people can learn and maybe avoid those mistakes. And you know, my kids got involved because they wanted to help people understand or help parents understand what their kids are going through, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, it just became this kind of thing. But I'm still learning, right? I'm still learning, and
it never ends, the learning, and each phase is different. And then you have to learn that phase.
And each kid is different, you know, so there isn't a one size fits all for any of them. It's like three different languages, three different meal planning things, three different educational journey. I mean, it was crazy with everything. And, you know, it's, if you're not careful, you will burn out, you know? And I think I think that's a lot of where I am right now, just dealing with depression and anxiety and burnout. It's tough because like everything in my life is actually going pretty well. Like I really don't have anything to be distressed about, but when you live in that fight or flight for so long, that survival mode for so long, it's exhausting. And and it just wears away at those resources. Yep. And it's so easy to just keep putting into your kids and not putting anything back into yourself. And you find yourself at a place where like, you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning because you just know how hard the day is going to be, or how hard you feel depleted. The day is going to be. Yeah, you're depleted. But, you know, I think it's important that we talk about this stuff, because if you don't know, sometimes we get so caught up in the moment that we don't see what's happening in front of us. And probably one of the biggest lessons my kids have taught me is to slow down and pay attention to the things that everybody else ignores. And, you know, I'm trying to do that. And like I said, I love these conversations, because I could have the same conversation with just a random person and they're not going to understand.
Yep.
I'm hearing all these things that you're saying, and I'm going through my head is going through like this film strip of stuff from when my kids were younger. Like I'm able to put myself in your shoes, because I get what it was like for me, and I can imagine what it was like for you. So like I did the blog thing. That's sort of what inspired all of this stuff that I'm doing now, like sitting here talking to you. You went and created Victorware. What is going on with that? Like how is that inspired? I mean, obviously I think we can figure out why it was inspired, but like, what are you doing with all of that? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So we've gotten off to a really good start. So far we launched, on April 2nd, World Autism Awareness Day. And we've been really successful with media, actually. Like, I'm here talking to you, and we've attracted a lot of media buzz, and we've sold, you know, we've done pretty well, definitely looking to grow to realize our mission of creating jobs for the autism community. So the more that we can grow our business, that would enable us to actually like own our whole like manufacturing operation and employ folks to really like run the shop. And that's where we are trying to get, but we're starting out. And like I said, we're off to a strong start, but we definitely, we're looking for, you know, funding opportunities to grow.
I'm looking at your website right now, and it's so cool.
Oh, thank you.
You know, like I can see, well, the clothing line, I can see all that, but you're also educating people.
Yeah.
At the same time. And that's so cool.
Thank you.
So what does Isaiah do as far as the business? Like, what does he help to design?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Tell me about that.
This business is like everything to him. I mean, like literally every day, oh, mom, we got 5 new followers. he is like my chief brand ambassador. Our goal is for him to be the face. Like, we're working on that pivot.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of slogan ideas, like we collaborate on the slogans, the whole idea for the logo, he helped me with. We sell at events together. And so he is always talking to customers about the business and, you know, just really like kind of pitching to customers. And it's been great for him. Like, it's been great for his confidence. He's getting experience with, you know, he's learning marketing skills. He's learning how to communicate like with the public. You know, we've been on TV. He won an award, the DC Chamber of Commerce Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award. And that was really amazing to see. He met the mayor of DC and just seeing like how poised he was, like getting in front of an audience. Like you said, like you never know. Like, I was so nervous. Like, my stomach, I'm telling you, I couldn't even like eat. And, you know, I just butterflies in my stomach, and he just nailed it. And so I've just seen so much growth, and definitely, you know, my vision, folks want to hear more from him. And so we have a lot of things we're working on, you know, to make that happen. But at the same time, I'm very nervous about that. Like, yeah. I've really held off because I don't, you know, it's one thing, like I know, you know, folks with the autism community will relate, but I don't want him like, you know, becoming a meme or, you know, it's horrible online. And it's taken me, I mean, I'm still working through that. I want to protect my child.
Yeah, I totally relate to that. When I first started writing and sharing everything, we were anonymous, right? The whole thing was an accident. I thought it was like a private journal thing that I was writing my thoughts on, and it wasn't private. People started reading it, parents started relating, and it just became this like thing that was providing comfort and support and validation and all this other stuff. And it was very therapeutic for me. But for the first, 2 years, maybe it was never our real names. It was anonymous. Right. And then there was a newspaper article at one point that had our names and last name and stuff like that. And so then it became, it is what it is. We just don't release our address.
Yeah.
Try not to. And so like I get what you're saying. But it got to the point where my kids have been on TV. We've, been interviewed. I've done commentating stuff and they always want to take part in it. Emmett sat here. I was on a Tamron Hall show 2 years ago. And, he got to, when we were done recording, he got to sit here he had a video call with Holly Robinson Pete.
Oh, amazing.
And I've known her forever, but it was so cool because he got to just get that experience and have that opportunity to just kind of do something that maybe not everybody could do. And I try to let go, but I'm more aware of the things that could be potentially harmful,
yeah, of course,
than what they are. So they're willing to just like jump into anything. But I don't know. The internet's an unforgiving place.
Absolutely.
And I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. It's like forever. Like, once it's out there too, like that's.
Well, on the flip side of that, you're always going to have the people who are detracting or the trolls or the people who are just going to come after you because they have nothing better in their life. But on the other side of that, you have all the people who are going to be inspired. All of the other kids on a spectrum who will see what he's doing and be like, wow, like I want to do that. Or, they find inspiration to explore things on their own. And, parents learn from each other as well. Absolutely. So I'm amazed at what you're doing. And
I'm amazed at what you're doing.
This is such a cool thing.
I mean,
well, thank you.
Amazing. And I'm here for you.
Thank you. And same. Okay. So part of the proceeds from all of your clothing goes to support Special Olympics.
Yes. Virginia.
Tell me about that.
Yes. So we established a partnership with Special Olympics. So we donate 10% of our profits to Special Olympics. Isaiah is also a Special Olympics athlete. He's a swimmer. He actually won a gold medal recently.
Wow.
State competition. So we absolutely love Special Olympics, and we want to support their mission of empowering people with disabilities. So it's an honor.
Wow. That's so cool. You guys are doing, this is really a very cool thing that you guys are doing.
We want to grow.
Well, and you said you started in April of this year.
Yeah.
What has the response been so far?
The response has been great. This was kind of in my head for a while, and I struggled with kind of, telling our personal story. But once I work with a SCORE mentor, and he was like, you have to, like, that is what you need to lead with. That is what people are going to connect to. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally just launched and shared our story, I was really amazed by how much it resonates. Yep. And the fact that everyone I talk to about the business, like everyone knows or loves someone with autism. And so that's how they connect. And I think that has been the surprise. I thought I knew that our story would resonate, with autism parents, but so many people are just impacted, directly or indirectly by autism. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've been really, surprised by. And it's just been like an incredibly like uplifting experience.
And, the other thing too is, even for the people who maybe don't have autistic kids or aren't autistic themselves, they see a mother and a son doing something very positive, building something very positive, using proceeds from that to help other people who are doing positive things. And it's easy to be drawn into that and to want to support that. Yeah. I mean, I this is really, really cool.
Thank you.
This is really cool. So how can people, what's the best way for people to find you?
So our website, victorware.com, and we're also on Facebook and Instagram at VictorWareCO. So VictorWareCO.
Okay. Oh yeah. And the links are on the website too.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure all of that is in the show notes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, thank you for what you're doing. Like,
thank you.
This is a positive thing, and we need more positive things like this. So ultimately, where do you want to see this go? Where do you want to see VictorWare 5 years from now?
I want this to be a multi-million dollar enterprise primarily run by people with disabilities, autism in particular. Wow. And I want Isaiah to be the CEO.
There you go. I've wanted to, I didn't start building this business until I've been at this for a really long time, but I didn't actually build a business around until COVID, really.
Oh, wow.
So it's only been a couple of years. I tried not to, I had this weird thing about monetizing what I was doing because I thought like I was just helping people and I didn't want to make money off of that. But then
I struggled with that too.
But I have my kids and we have to survive and grow and whatever. And the better that the business does, the more people that I can reach in creative ways and more things we can do to help people and whatever. So it's, it's something that I have wanted to be able to turn into something that my kids could be a part of, or that I could employ at least my kids, if that's something that they were interested in doing and maybe more, I relate very well to what you're doing and I think it's amazing. So very, very cool.
It's all love. Thank you so much.
Is there any like parting message or anything that you want parents or anybody to just take away from your story and what you guys are doing and your journey? And
I would say for parents, just don't ever give up. It's hard. It can be just crazy, stressful, but you are your child's advocate and you have to hang in there and take advantage of all the supports available to you. Have a community, a support system, and just never give up because your child is worth it.
Hard to follow that. I don't have anything to add. That's perfect. It's very, very good. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and having this conversation and sharing your life and doing all the things that you guys are doing. All of your information will be in the show notes below so people can just, click on it and, check out what you guys are doing.
Awesome. Great. Great meeting you. And thank you for everything you're doing.
You too. I'm so glad that I got this email because that's, they're doing a good job for one thing.
They are. So
good for them. But this is a really compelling story and I'm honored to be able to bring it to my listeners. So awesome.
Awesome.
Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
And we'll be in touch.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
Before we close things out, I just want to say thank you to Tiffany for taking the time to come on the show and talking to us about her life and her journey as a parent, her son Isaiah, and the amazing things that he's doing, and the company VictorWare that they've co-founded together. I think it's amazing to see a mother-son combo doing the things that they're doing. It's inspirational, and the clothes that they're designing are really cool, and they have a positive message. And if you're interested in grabbing a shirt or a sweatshirt or whatever, you can find them at victorware.com. That's VictorWare.com. Link will be in the show notes below. And again, thank you so much, Tiffany. I really do appreciate your time. As for me, you can find me at listen.theautismdad.com, which is the homepage for this podcast. You can interact with the podcast right there. You can leave comments and feedback. You can apply to be a guest. You can submit show suggestions or explore sponsorship opportunities. And remember, you can subscribe to this podcast and any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. Just hit that subscribe button. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a fantastic week. And I'll talk to you on Friday. All right. See you. Bye.